The story of a sinking cruise ship off Italy's coast has made headlines across the globe this week as hopes fade of finding more survivors of Friday night's tragedy. The Catholic Apostleship of the Sea has been on hand to help passengers of the Costa Concordia, which was carrying more than 4,000 passengers and hundreds of crew when it hit a bank of rocks off the island of Giglio in central Italy and capsized. The chaplain on board assisted shocked crew and passengers, including those injured. The priest and parishioners of Giglio and the mainland have worked around the clock to assist passengers, many of whom were given first refuge in churches and schools. The local Italian chapters of the Apostleship of the Sea have been distributing clothing and food and are providing spiritual and emotional support. Well, each year, the Apostleship of the Sea deploys chaplains on many cruise lines to support the pastoral and practical welfare of crew and passengers. Last year, more than 700 cruise chaplains provided thousands of days of cruise chaplaincy across the world. Well, the director of development of the UK-based Catholic Apostleship of the Sea, John Green, remembers another sea disaster, the sinking of a Russian cargo ship in the Irish Sea late last year, and how the apostleship's volunteers and religious were on hand to help in any way they could.
This ship used to go around the coast for many years of Great Britain carrying stones, and unfortunately, in the middle of a Sunday night in a storm in the Irish Sea, the hull cracked and the ship sank. But for this Russian cruise ship, for many years now, had been around the coast, and when it came into a port, volunteers from the parishes of Great Britain would visit the ship together with our chaplains. They would see what this crew needed, so they would bring them Russian newspapers, they would take them to the shops. Other crews, if they wanted, would bring them to Sunday Mass. So there was an increasing awareness amongst these parishes, both from seeing seafarers in their communities, seeing them at Mass, or from hearing of volunteers from the parishes that they've been down at the docks, they've met seafarers, most of whom would be Catholic. And there's an increasing awareness that these people exist, that ships aren't remote controlled. There's people on board who have a dignity and have needs and a faith that we can support.
And they're probably lonely and needing a friendly hand.
Absolutely. When a ship comes into port, although various people go on board to check the quality of the ship, to check the cargo, nobody goes on board to ask the seafarers, "How are you? What can we do?" So it's a unique job that the Apostleship of the Sea there does.
Question of curiosity. I mean, are there other similar initiatives out there to this Catholic Apostleship of the Sea?
Not really. This is a unique venture. Been going now nearly just over 90 years. Began in Glasgow, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We're visiting parishes in Glasgow, looking for those in need there. And somebody thought, well, actually, we can see ships coming up the river. Let's visit those too. And they began to visit those, again, starting from what did the seafarers on board need? They need support practically, but also to support them in their faith.
And that's no small task, with some 100,000 ship movements each year in and out of Great Britain's 56 ports, a massive international movement of people and goods.
And with all these seafarers from different countries across the world coming into ports, the chaplains and volunteers from the parishes are on the docks every day, getting on board these ships and seeing what are the practical needs of seafarers, but also what are their faith needs. And in a quiet way, reaching out to them, getting on board and finding different ways to help them.
And you're seeing, of course, ships coming in from all over the world. So you're dealing also not just with Christians, but with Muslims, with Druze, with Hindus, with Buddhists, I'm imagining. So, I mean, what kind of challenges does that present to you as a Catholic chaplaincy, as a Catholic apostleship?
When one of our chaplains or volunteers goes on board a ship, the first thing they start from is, what do these seafarers on board need? And primarily we see three things they want. First of all, they want to get in contact with their family. They're at sea because of their family. So we help them to get onto an internet connection so they can email or Skype home, or to get to a payphone where they can speak to their family, which for them is very important. The second thing they really want to do is just to get off the ship. So we provide transport so they can get into town. A lovely story I heard from one of our chaplains recently was an all-Indian crew on a ship. They just said to him, "Father, we want to walk on grass." So he put them in a minibus, took them to the local park. They got there, took their shoes off, and walked on the dew of the grass. At the end, he said, "Anything else I can do for you?" He said, "No, we just wanted to walk on dry land." So he put them back in the minibus and took them back to the ship. And a third major area of our work, which is quite a surprise to people, is support in their faith. A lot of seafarers, they have a more extrovert, a more open awareness of their faith than perhaps we do in Great Britain. And they'll want to have mass on board. One of our chaplains in Scotland said he was speaking with a master of a ship, and the captain said, "Can we pray now?" And in front of all the crew, the captain dropped to his knees and said, "Let's pray now." They, in front of this great, immense ocean, they have a great awareness of the power of nature and the proximity of God to them.
Of course, it's also one of the most dangerous professions in the world, isn't it?
In fact, in Great Britain, the two most dangerous occupations are seafaring and fishing. And it's not only looking after seafarers, bringing goods in on merchant ships in our ports. We look after fishermen, those working on cruise ships. So we'll not only be those making the ship work, but everybody from the hairdressers to those working in the casino on a cruise ship, and then all those involved in the offshore industry on oil rigs and gas rigs. So it's, as John Paul II called in his motu proprio Stella Maris, we look to care for all the people of the sea.
You also do some very important advocacy work here along with the Pontifical Council for Migrants on behalf of the rights of seafarers.
There's two major pieces of work that the Apostleship of the Sea internationally has done in the last 10 years has been cooperating with others, ship owners, NGOs, trade unions, at the International Labour Organization to put together two big new conventions. The first is the International Maritime Labour Convention, which has consolidated about 90 previous conventions looking at the rights and the well-being of seafarers. And this is in the process of being ratified by a number of countries, and hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years this will become international law and will really improve the lot of seafarers. The other big convention that was put forward by the International Labour Organization in 2007 was a similar International Fishers Labour Convention. This is having a bit more difficulty in being ratified into national law amongst national countries. But again, this should improve the lot of fishermen across the world quite dramatically.
I know we've been talking about the sea, it's the apostleship for the sea, but there are many big rivers out there where you have barges and you have commerce conducted along rivers.
Absolutely. In 1990, Pope John Paul wrote a motu proprio setting up something of the modern-day structure of the apostleship of the sea. And in that, he mandated our care was for the people of the sea, including those that travel on inland waterways. In Great Britain at the moment, together with other Christian communities, we've been looking at how better we can support all those who work on waterways, those who work on canals, and to look at how the local church, we can stretch the parish to help these people who are passing through. In 2012, in London, we're going to be hosting the Olympics. So we've been looking together with local parishes at those coming in who'll be part of the yachting events and the sailing events, and how we can support those who'll come in very briefly. There may be an influx of those people coming in on cruise ships to visit those events. So how these people will be briefly there, how we can support them, both the participants but also the spectators.
Where is this apostleship of the sea going, and what direction?
It still remains increasingly important in many countries that the apostleship of the sea doesn't exist. Ships come into port, and there's no care for the seafarers on board. They'll be away, on average, for 8 years away from their family while their children are growing up. Very little opportunity for them to be in contact with their family. So it remains important that this can be put on the agenda of as many local churches as possible, say, is there somebody within the local church with some maritime experience, with some pastoral experience, who can begin to establish a team to visit ships, to support the welfare and also the faith of seafarers?
John Green is director of development of the UK-based Catholic Apostleship of the Sea.